All right. Thank you, young folks. That's a real truth there. A lot of folks quit trusting because he don't provide on their time schedule that they thought he should. But that's a good message and song for us. I want you to go to the book of Ecclesiastes tonight. First few verses, chapter 1. Book of Ecclesiastes is unusual. A lot of folks don't understand it. It's written from the viewpoint of what can be observed by the natural man under the sun, and it's got a lot of help in it. I've always gotten a blessing every time I would just sit down and read the whole book of Ecclesiastes and read it all the way through one time and just at a regular pace. And boy, you'll find your heart saying, boy, that's true, boy, that's true, I recognize that, and so forth. Be a real blessing to you. Ecclesiastes. I want to talk to you tonight on the subject of sincere failures. Sincere failures. You know, Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon. He wrote three books. A lot of Bible students believe that he probably wrote the book, the Song of Solomon, maybe in his youth, or at least when he was younger. He seemed to be have fallen in love with the Shunammite girl who has become a type of the church and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for his bride. Maybe he wrote the Song of Solomon in the morning time of his life. If so, he might have written the book of Proverbs in the noontime of his life. Proverbs, of course, deals with a lot of heavenly rules that we use in this earthly existence. They're really helpful, really helpful. But then Ecclesiastes, that'd be the three, Song of Solomon, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Maybe he wrote Ecclesiastes in the sundown of his life. And in some ways, it's a little pessimistic. Maybe life had not been all Solomon thought it should have been. In a sense, he might have figured himself a failure, because he says in the book of Ecclesiastes, vanity of vanities. He's talking about life. Look at it here in verse 1 of Ecclesiastes, the words of the preacher, the son of David. He identifies himself king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit have a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. Again, that's the way it appears to natural man. The sun also ariseth, the sun goeth down and hasteneth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. And that's a fact of science in verse 6. Verse 7, all the rivers run into the sea, another fact of science, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come thither, they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new, if it hath already of old time, it hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. So it sounds sort of pessimistic. Sort of sounds like Solomon is... If you could interview him, he might say, I'm the king. I'm the wealthiest one. I've had everything I could have possibly desired, and yet I'm a failure. I'm not happy about it. It's vanity of vanities. Now, you know, I could preach tonight on a lot of things, and easiest thing for me to preach on is the world troubles. Boys, they're abounding. I know that. You can't hardly keep up with the news, the bad things that's happening and so forth. I mentioned this morning Iran bragging about all their missiles and shooting them off and just making fools out of what we just done and cutting them the nuclear deal and giving them all our tax money. We could preach about that stuff. The only good thing I can say about the bad stuff that's happening in the world is the Bible was ahead of it and predicted it. So we're not in the darkness on that. But you know, I want to change gears a little bit tonight. I want to kind of reach out to ourselves a little bit. I want to talk to you tonight and talk to you a little bit on the fact of no matter how sincere we were, oftentimes we fail, don't we? I mean, truthfully, we failed. I'm not talking about premeditated sin. I'm not even talking about just robbing God with a tithe or refusing to attend his house or living like the devil. No. I'm not really talking about that. I'm talking about sincere failures where a lot of people tried and tried hard and were faithful. Faithful to God's house, faithful to his cause, and tried to raise the kids in Sunday school and at home like they should. And I'm talking about trying to do things right, and still things didn't turn out. Now, let me put it this way. We've all been there. We've all had a goal we didn't reach. We've all failed in some way or another. In fact, if you've never failed, I'm going to stop right now and let you leave. I don't see anybody leaving. That's an admission we've all failed at some time or another, isn't it? So maybe the message tonight will help us a little bit, and we're just going to kind of talk to you about some things tonight. But the truth is, a lot of people that tried hard, sincere as they could be, and yet it didn't turn out like they wanted it to turn out. And maybe we got our priorities mixed up sometime. I don't know. Maybe the husband thought they understood. I'm getting up from before daylight. I'm going to work. I'm working long hours. I'm getting more hours if I can. And I'm doing all this. And surely my family understands I'm doing it for them. But after time goes on, finds out, no, they'd rather had me home. I done wrong. I worked too much. I was a workaholic. And I thought they understood, but they didn't. There's been a lot of daddies that's felt that. As they got on into life, got into the older age, been a lot of wives that thought everybody understood, thought the kids understood. Maybe she thought the husband understood when the kids come along that she was paying attention to them. They needed her. And she sort of slipped up and forgot about the husband, but she thought he understood. But she found out later he didn't. Sometimes we get our priorities mixed up like that. And some daddy that's lost touch with his son and that little boy that he was so proud of and loved so much that called him daddy, so precious and close to him. And then that boy grows up and next thing you know, daddy realizes, well, things have changed. I've lost touch, lost communications, not to say. Where did I go wrong? What could I have done different? And sometimes we beat up ourselves, and maybe a little rightfully so sometimes, but boy, to get things in balance and keep them in balance and understand it's a challenge. And I'm talking to you about that tonight. It's just so easy sometimes to be very sincere and still fail. They say that suicides come and I guess in the news here in recent months, they had this sorry dating site, whatever it was called, Ashley Madison. And a lot of authorities, a lot of higher-ups, a lot of socially high people, a lot of government people, a lot of people that had big names in the social register, somebody hacked into it and exposed them. And there's been a lot of suicides committed. Well, that's in many cases a result of sin being exposed. But a lot of times suicide comes from other reasons. Comes sometimes from financial bankruptcy and that sort of stuff. We look over here at the picture on the wall of the hotel, the girls' dorm, radio station. I remember when I was in probably the third grade, fourth grade maybe, there was a early afternoon, a car comes speeding right down 1792, went right on the railroad track, pulled right up in front of this hotel. The man jumped out of the car, ran in the front door of the hotel. I do not know if he went up the stairs or the elevator, but he went to the top as high as he could go, and he jumped off and killed himself. I had a boyfriend who was a little bit, he wasn't tongue-tied, but he had a stutter. He had a little problem. He was at the window sharpening his pencil. Y'all know how you used to kill time, sharpening the pencil. Sharpen it till there's no pencil left, rather than going back to the seat. Well, he was good at that. And he was standing at the window sharpening his pencil, and he saw this fellow jump off the building. Jumped off the front. Highest part he could get to. And Gary ran back to the teacher, and he had trouble communicating anyway, but seeing that, he just couldn't say it. And the teacher was about to paddle him over being such a disturbance before somebody else told her the man jumped off the top of the building is what he's trying to tell you. I heard adults talk about that later as a kid. He had gone bankrupt. He had things that just went bust, and he couldn't stand it no longer. And you hear about sad things like that. And it still happens. Still happens today, no doubt about it. But I tell you what causes most suicides, and that is when somebody has evaluated themselves and declared themselves to be a failure. Sometimes we better be careful about that, because sometimes the application we make and sometimes the judgment that we pass on ourselves comes from a wrong expectation that we set that maybe necessarily was not right. And we have to be careful about that. Now, this is not going to be a good spitting, pew jumping, amen sermon tonight. But maybe it'll help some of you to think about it a little bit. And because, listen, folks, the strength of our church, the strength of our homes, the strength of our nation depends on somewhat, to a great degree, how much we got it together and how much we keep it together in functioning in this life. Did you know that? That's important. It really is. And the Bible gives us a lot of instruction on that. It gives us advice. I know there will not be anybody that will not have problems. There will not be anybody that won't fail at something, sometime, some way. But sometime, if you'll just go by the Word of God, you can survive it. And you can understand what's happening. To begin with, I want to say some things to us tonight. We that have been sincere failures, and I'm talking about myself too. To begin with, when we realize we have failed, we don't give up. We don't quit. We we want to get up and try it again. Hey, God's in the getting up business. Did you know that? He says, though, said the steps of a good man ordered by the Lord, though he stumble and fall, the Lord doesn't cast him down, but he uplifts him with his hand. He gives us another chance. He pulls us up and said, okay, maybe you learned by that, but do it again. I think about the little boy that was walking in the snow and ice up north and walking with his dad on the icy sidewalk. And the dad kept saying to him, let me hold your hand. But no, the little boy wanted to hold daddy's hand. And sure enough, directly his feet went out from him, and he fell, and he let go of daddy's hand. But when he got up, he said, all right, daddy, now you can hold my hand. There's a difference. Let God hold your hand. He can pull you up. When you divorce yourself from God and you tell him to keep his hands off your life, you're heading for a fall, brother. You're cruising for a bruising, as we used to say when I was in school. The truth of the matter is, God is in the business of picking you up and getting you going again and giving you another chance. So don't quit. Let me say to you Christians, don't quit your Sunday school class when you had a bad Sunday, when you couldn't get them quiet, when they wouldn't listen. Don't quit. Don't give up on your bus because you go down 1 week. Don't quit singing in the choir because you had a bad Sunday. And all of a sudden, I just can't give that time. Well, what else are you doing with it? Truth of the matter is, you had a bad day, don't quit. But stay faithful to the Lord. Now, the answer is, when we fail, we don't quit. We don't give up. Hey, we're all sinners. We're saved by grace. No doubt about that. But at the same time, don't quit because you find out you got a weakness that you made a failure somewhere. I like what Brother Marvin Johnson says over there every time you greet him. You know what he says? Say, how you doing, Marvin? He says, better than I deserve. You ever hear that one? Amen. We used to have a deacon here, Brother Thompson. Remember Brother Thompson? Come up and shake hands with him. And he said, anybody told you today? Anybody remember that? Anybody told you today God loves you? He still loves you even when you've judged yourself a failure. Even when things have turned out wrong, thank God, he still loves us. Quitting on God don't hurt, don't help, it hurts. Think that one through just a minute. When you quit on God in a bad time, it adds to your guilt. It adds to your hurting conscience. It adds to your sense of being a failure. And so don't quit. When you quit on God, it'll hurt you worse. And worse than that, your quitting will hurt somebody else. It's a strange thing about us human beings. We like to see what others are doing. It's an encouragement to see somebody that can take it and keep going. It's a discouragement to see the one that's knocked over by every little thing that goes cross and comes their way. Amen? Think on it a little bit. You know, here's the thing. Others greater than you have had some problems. I was thinking about the young folks singing a while ago. They're singing about Abraham. Did you know Abraham? Oh, he was the father of the faithful. Abraham, he trusted God, and it was accredited to him for righteousness. Abraham, great as he was, did he have any failures? How about a time with Hagar the maid and Ishmael being born? What's the prophecy about Ishmael? He'd be a wild man. He'd be against every man. What are we reaping today? Abraham's failure. Abraham's failure, really. And yet Abraham didn't quit. And because he didn't quit, Isaac was also born, praise God. David, did David have any problems? Great as he was, man after God's own heart. Didn't he have two sons, one of them Amnon and one of them Absalom? Didn't turn out so well, did they? Had murder in the family, adultery in the family. Failures. And yet, read the Psalms and see what God gave us through David and all that he gave us, as well as being in the lineage of the Messiah, of course. But think about it now. You say, well, that was Bible characters. There was an evangelist well known in America. A long time before Billy Graham, there was another Billy. His name was Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday was quite an unusual fellow. He got saved when he was a baseball player. He still held the record for the speed around the bases when he played baseball, and he run the bases barefoot. And Billy Sunday was quite something. But God saved Billy, saved him at the old mission house, and God made a preacher out of him. He was a unique preacher. He jumped the pews and the pulpit. He done all kind of things. Stories are told about him and recorded about him that are highly unusual, but tremendous numbers of souls got saved. He was a great enemy of the liquor traffic, and he fought it big time. He had the liquor crowd after him, even trying to kill him and all that. They was telling one night about a fella came down the aisle in one of his Sawdust Trail meetings in the old wooden tabernacle. He came down with a bullwhip, and he was going to take Billy out of the pulpit with a bullwhip, but Billy caught the bullwhip and came down and beat the guy up right in front of the congregation. That's the preacher I like, amen? But you know what? Billy Sunday had some failures. He had a son that he couldn't reach for Christ. And the liberals and the paper and the liquor crowd hated Billy so bad, they'd watch to see what his son could do. And every now and then the headline would be, Son of Billy Sunday at a drunken brawl in a bar. It was one of his failures. But thank God he didn't quit. He didn't quit. He kept on going. I say to you as parents tonight, there's nothing in the world will test you like your kids. Nothing in the world make you feel like a failure any greater than your kids. And you might say, I done something wrong. I failed. I don't know what I could have done otherwise. And I've had parents say that to me so many times. And I don't have any easy answers. I'll tell you what God says. He don't tell you to quit. He don't tell you to quit. But keep on going. I know a preacher whose son messed up. Good preacher. Went to his funeral not too long ago. And people in his church said, give up on that boy. But he just kept on trying to reach out to the boy and reach out to the boy. And the day came that the boy got right with God because his dad didn't quit reaching out to him. Not only that, but since he didn't quit, how many other boys did he help? How many others, daddy's sons, did he reach? Because he didn't give up when a failure was apparent and it come. And I want to say to you parents, when you say, I've failed, truthfully, don't compromise with the devil. That's what he wants you to do. My wife and I was visiting a family. A family visited our church on Sunday morning, been a long time back. And we caught up on a visit, finally found their address, and went out and visited the family that visited us. We do that often. And went to the mom and dad's home. The kids were not there, but they were good Christian people. They were Baptists. They praised the kind of church service. They said, you're an old Baptist, fashioned Baptist church. That's what we've always been. You got the right Bible, you got the right music, but we can't come to your church. They were pretty plain about it. And I said, why? They said, our kids told us plainly this morning they were not going to an old-fashioned church like that. So you know what they did? They compromised with the kids. Got to go where the music makes me feel different, worldly. Got to go where the preacher's not so straight. You wouldn't believe it, folks, but that's going on all the time right now. I had a preacher say to me recently, he said, we don't like it. He said, I don't like it, but he said, I'm facing the truth that if kids will show any little tiny bit of interest in any kind of religion, any kind of other church, you'll find mom and dad following them. He said, I understand their heart with the kids, but he said, the kids are leading them, and they're leading them wrong. And I'll tell you, you're not going to win that way. It won't be long for the new will wear off of that liberalism, and they'll have to have a greater liberalism and a move to a greater liberalism. And the truth of the matter is, you're not doing the kids any good when you compromise the truth of God. But it's happening. Boy, in this age, is it really, really, really happening? But I say this, don't give up. Then I say, don't try to hide your face in shame. I've seen a lot of folks do that. Listen, God knows you were not perfect when he saved you. We are all a work in progress. Did you know that? God is not through making on us yet. You need to understand that. I think about the wife said, Joe told me when I first met him that he wasn't good enough for me, and he's been proving that ever since. Now, we've been proving to God ever since that we're just as bad as he thought we were. But isn't he good? He loved us anyway. And he's still working with us, and he still hadn't given up on us. The truth is, don't let the devil shame you out of serving God. He'll do it if you let him. He'll do it every time. You know, we have to also reach out to others that have failed, because give us a little time and we'll fail on something. Galatians 6:1, you know what it says over there? Be good to turn to it. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault. Now, we all know somebody that's been overtaken in a fault. And it says, brethren, talking to saved people, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. And here's the bottom line. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now let me read that verse again. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, get on Facebook and tell everybody. It don't say that, does it? But boy, that's what's being practiced. Even in the name of church and Christianity today, it is not your job to spread the garbage. So that is true. Even if it's true, it's not your job to spread the garbage. Amen. But oh man, we got garbage spreaders today like we've never ever had before. Listen, I'm not condoning sin. I'm going to say to you, if you got beer in the fridge and you're a smoking dope and you expect your kid not to do it, who are you kidding? If you're out there into sin and adultery and all the dirty stuff of today, don't think your kid's going to walk straight when you're walking crooked. It's not going to happen. It's not going to be he's going to do as you say, but he's going to do as you do. And so I say to you, be careful about that. You might have something to be ashamed of if you've set that kind of path for them. But if you've set it right, you've been sincere, you've done everything you could do, and they still mess up, you don't have to hide your face. You keep on doing what's right. You keep on praying for them. You keep on being willing to give them a hand. Pull them out of the hog pen. You don't have to get in the hog pen with them. You can pull them out of it. And that's what God wants you to do, knowing that God, thank God, he is a forgiving God. Amen? And by the way, when somebody fails, it's not my job to say, well, God didn't punish them enough. I need to punish them some more. I've seen that mentality, even with God's people sometime. How careful we ought to be about that. Ye that are spiritual, restore such a one. That's what the scripture there said that we just read. And then I think about everybody at one time or another has failed to some degree or the other. As a preacher, oftentimes I've felt like a failure. And made a self-judgment, right or wrong. Many times I've felt that way. And as a preacher sometime, I'll plead my case just a little bit because I got the microphone and you hadn't. But a lot of folks don't know the pressure that a preacher has if he's going to be true to the book, if he's going to be true to the Lord, if he's going to be true to the truth, you hear about, and there's some folks enjoy coming to tell me about something bad. Somebody said this. Well, I don't know who's sitting home tonight pouting because I didn't do something they wanted me to do. Right. And I don't even know it. Maybe it'd have been right if I could have done it. And I always feel a failure when I find out there was a need I should have reached and I didn't reach it, or something I should have discerned, or somebody's feelings about something and I was in the dark about it and dumb about it. I feel like a failure when I hear those things. But I'm also limited to just not being able to be everywhere, know everything, and meet every need. All preachers at one time or another feel like failures. Because we set a pretty high standard, and rightfully so, we should, and we do. But some of these college students now, they're talking to each other when they ought to be listening to this. Because your turn's going to come too when you're going to feel like a failure. I feel like you're a failure right now when you're not listening to the sermon. Amen? I'll say this, I'll apply that to the whole church to a little bit. Preacher friend of mine resigned. He retired. He's still strong. Still a good preacher. Still preaching good today. Still love to hear him today. I asked him, I said, didn't you retire a little bit early? Why? And now the church done just what this one or any church does when the old man leaves. It dipped. It went down. Now thank God it's come back up. Because the church don't belong to the preacher, it belongs to God. But I asked him, I said, didn't you quit a little too early? He said, I'll tell you why I quit, Brother Carter. And I really wish you hadn't told me, because I've thought about it quite a bit. Here's what he told me. He said, I quit. I retired when I began to get the feeling that my congregation was not paying me any attention anymore. They were not obeying me anymore. They were not letting me tell them the right way to walk anymore. They were just doing their own thing. And I was up telling them the same thing I told them for years and years and years. But he said, I begin to notice a difference. It used to be years back when I would say something from the pulpit and it had an effect and people acted on it and they done right by it. But then all of a sudden, when I advised them against the things of the world and what the Bible said about this, that, or the other, all of a sudden, they were ignoring it. That's scary to me. Yeah. That's very, very scary to me. I don't want to sense that happening. Because you see, an old preacher runs out of maybe quite the strength and the power that he used to have. And then the other thing is, his people have hurt him so much. Is he going to say that again? Is he going to tell that story again? Yeah. Yeah. And if you're on his side, you'll say, tell it again. I want others to hear it that never heard it. It's not that I'm so senile I forget what I've said. It's just that I feel like a lot of folks didn't pay attention the first time. They ought to get it again. Amen. Now, I'm being a little facetious about that. But the truth of the matter is, you feel like a failure sometime when, why did they mess up? I warned them that cliff was there. I warned them they can't have that kind of relationship. I warned them they can't mix with that crowd. I warned them. I told them the wages of sin, and yet they just blundered into it as though they'd never been warned. And that's the most discouraging thing to a preacher. That's a very discouraging thing. You know, as a preacher sometime, I've felt like that pastor told me. He said, I don't think he quit. He's still preaching. He's doing a good job. He's just not pastoring that people. He's doing another work, mission work for God. And I praise the Lord for him. But that's the reason that he told me. He said, I was beginning to feel like a failure and I couldn't live with it. He said, I felt like I was a tinkling cymbal and I was not getting the results I used to get. And he said, I just felt like I had to turn it over. And maybe he was right. That's a poor way to end them. Ministry. Don't seem like it ought to end that way to me. Don't seem like it should. But you know, I will say this to you. Don't think you're a failure at everything just because you failed at one thing. Yeah, that preacher might have lost his son, but how many other daddy's sons did he save? Just because the devil got us at one turn, don't quit. Don't give up. And I've seen it in my own church, and I've known of other cases where all the good that somebody was doing, one little failure caused them to quit. And now look at all the good that went down the tubes because they quit. They got faked out. Satan won a battle. And, I failed. I'm just no good for anything else from here on out. Oh no, God still wants to use you. If you failed him, you feel like as a mother, try again. And by the way, to some of you mothers, life's not over when your kids leave home. They're going to bring you some more back home. They call grandkids. You're going to get another chance. Not only that, you're going to have the opportunity, as it were, almost like you're living two lives. You lived as a mother, now you live as a grandmother. What in the world would we do without grandmothers and granddaddies today? Brother, you look around today and I'm seeing more and more kids. Man, they wouldn't have anything if they didn't have grandparents. So don't say, well, I'm through forever. No, you're not. God's got another role maybe for you to play. Honest truth is, we see that all the time. You might even be a staff member at this church. Truth of the matter is, you say, well, I failed here and I failed there. That's okay. There's something else you can do that you wouldn't fail out if you don't quit. But if you quit, all the victories God had for you, you're never going to get that far. Never going to get to them. And of course, there's a sense when we quit God. We give up on Him. We quit trust in Him. There's a lot of people on landmark Baptist church rolls that would never admit it, but they ought to stand in front of the mirror and say, my real problem is I think God failed me. And in reality, they're bitter themselves at God. Now, they'd never admit that. They may pick out somebody else. He offended me. She offended me. This one done me wrong. Hey, that's not God. Don't blame him for it. But a lot of people are doing that. Would never admit it. Never admit it. So they've taken themselves out of the battle, taken themselves off the ball field, taken themselves out of the struggle. And all the good that God had planned for them, they're on the bench when they ought to be in there serving God. Let me say this to you. If you've sincerely failed, you've done the best you knew how. You had the kids in Sunday school. You taught them right and wrong. You lived before them right and wrong, and still they messed up. Don't quit, because they're going to come back around. And one day they're going to find out Mom and Dad was a lot smarter than they thought they were. I've said it before, my dad got smarter as I got older. And while he's been laying in the ground for a good number of years, he's smarter now than I could have ever imagined when I think back on the advice that he gave me. I challenge you tonight. If the devil has hung up your failures in front of your face and shook them at you, just tell him he's a liar. Pick up the pieces and go on for God. Amen. Solomon, what happened to you? Well, he said, I got down to the sundown of my life, and I'm not happy with myself. I look at it, it was all vanity. Yeah, but God used you to write a book to help me and to help everybody else. And so even whatever failures Solomon imagined, and they were pretty real, I guess, God said, put it on the page. We'll put it in my book, and it'll help somebody else. Your failures, they can help somebody else if you use them the right way for God. Amen. All right, let's stand. Father, we've preached to myself and those that are here tonight. Lord, I haven't really even invited anybody to be saved. They can come. We'll show them with the Bible how to be saved. But Lord, the power of the church is threatened today because so many folks have had a false expectation that they were going to be perfect when they couldn't be perfect. And that never failed, but they did fail. And the devil has used that to take them out of the race, out of the game, out of your service, out of your warfare. I pray for this church tonight. I pray for our membership. I pray for our moms and dads. I pray for our workers here in the church that, Lord, you'd encourage us in a day when the world is shaking every failure in our face they can. We're facing more attacks than ever before. Help us, Lord, to stand true to you. Bless now, Father, in the invitation tonight. Just might be somebody that needs to bring a failure, a sincere failure to the altar and say, Lord, I'm going to try again. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to give up, not give up. I pray you'd bless our families. Strength of our church is our families, Lord. Bless our kids to grow up and keep serving you. Never miss a step, Father. That'd be our desire, but Lord, we know that's not a very real reality so much of the time. But dear God, help us not to give up on them, but to be there when, like the prodigal, they come back. They'll find Dad at home waiting on them, ready to take them.